إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 14th session from the book Min Akhlaq al-Anbiya, Character and Morals of the Prophets, that should be taken as a model and example to be followed by Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan Hafidhullah. Our topic tonight is the 14th and 15th characteristic from the morals and character of the Prophets alayhimu salam. Our topic is the continuation or the persistence, the continuity or the persistence of the Prophets alayhimu salam in their da'wah or their call or invitation to those who oppose them or differ with them, and their continuity or persistence in their care given to those who follow them. Their continuity or their persistence in their da'wah of those who oppose them, and in the care, the intensive care that is given to those who follow them. And this topic is a very important topic, as we will see, even though the Shaykh has mentioned it briefly, in that we are required to give da'wah to the people who oppose the truth, whether from amongst the disbelievers or from amongst the Muslims who are not upon the sunnah. We are responsible to give da'wah, and we are also responsible to be consistent and persistent in our da'wah, and not to give up and lose hope and abandon the people. And likewise, those who have accepted the message of Islam, whether from amongst our family members or friends or neighbors or co-workers, any people who have entered into Islam, it is incumbent upon us likewise to be consistent and persistent in the care given to them, that they remain firm upon the truth that they have accepted. Before we enter into our topic for tonight, we want to look quickly at some of the issues that we discussed in the previous session from questionnaire study guide number 13, the 12th and 13th characteristics of the Prophets that the Shaykh has mentioned, the rahmah of the Prophets alayhi wasalam in dealing with those who they are calling to Allah, and likewise their strict adherence to that which they commanded the people with, and their being distant and far removed from that which they prohibited the people from. So in that topic, there were a number of issues that we dealt with. A few of them are mentioned in this questionnaire study guide. The first question mentioned the main reason why the Prophets alayhi wasalam was so merciful to those who they invited to Allah. Naam, I saw your hand first. Fadl.
من أخلاق الأنبياء أنهم أرحم الناس للمدعوين رجاه هدايته. That they are most merciful to the people from which they invited for the guidance, the hope of the guidance for them.
Naam. That they were most merciful, and from all people, they were the most merciful of those whom they have called out of hope. Out of hope that this will be a means through which those people would be guided. يعني رجع هدايتهم, يعني they had hope that through their يعني mercy and kindness that it would be a means to attract the hearts of the people to this way. Second question, what is the main concern of the da'i, the caller to Allah? What should be the main concern of the person who's calling to Allah? Abdullah. Naam? The guidance. The main concern of the da'i should be that the person who is being called is guided. Yani, that's the main concern, that they be guided, that they accept, that they receive the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the da'i is a means through which Allah might guide someone. Through the people, naam. The third question, so it's important then that we should keep this as our primary focus. That our main concern, our main objective, yani the goal of it all is that people be guided. That's it. Anything else, yani is not of great importance except that the people be guided. And everything that we do and everything that we say should be in light of that. That the goal, the objective is that the people be guided. Not that they join our team or whatever it might be of worldly goals that we might have. Number three, what did Nuh alayhi salam fear would befall his people if they did not worship Allah alone? And this is from the Quran, 7th Surah, 59th Ayat. Now, Abu Sa'id. He feared the punishment of a terrible day, a punishment that would not end. Did anybody memorize this ayah? Now, Musa. Shayyid. Anybody else memorize it? Naam, Abdullah. Shayyid. Ahsant. Khair. Naam. A permanent, continuous, lasting punishment on the day of Qiyamah if they meet Allah as mushriks. Question number four. Discuss the meaning of Ibrahim alayhi salam, yujadiluna. Yani yujadiluna. What is the meaning of this word in this ayat? Yani he's arguing back and forth for the people of Lut alayhi salam, as mentioned in the Quran in the 11th surah, 74th ayah. Naam. Ahmed.
It means not to argue as in the sense of how we would think. More in the sense of pleading the case.
Not arguing like a dispute with someone, but more so pleading the case.
So that Allah would send adab upon them.
In hope that Allah would not send His punishment upon them. Naam. Anybody? Naam, Abdullah. Because he was compassionate and caring for the people, he had hope. He still had hope, what? That they could be guided. Anybody else? Naam. Yani yujadiluna, yani arguing with us. Who is us? Naam, Abu Jamil. Al-Malaika. He was arguing, disputing, yani pleading with the angels who were sent to punish the people of Lut. And he was saying, what if, yani there are believers amongst them, 400, 300, 140, even one, yani Lut himself. Yani would you still punish them? He was pleading on their behalf. Yani to try to save them out of compassion and mercy. Yani the kindness of the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Mention the three sifat, characteristics of Ibrahim alayhi salam in Surah Hud. Yani 11th Surah, 75th Ayat. Yani the ayat following the one that we just alluded to. Naam, Nazir.
Forbearing.
Yani Halimun Awahun Munib. What's awwahun? Naam. Evoking Allah, calling upon Allah with humility, humbly calling upon Allah frequently all the time, and turning, yani munib, turning to Allah, yani constantly, continuously, frequently, day and night, all the time. Naam. Halimun awwahun munib. Forbearing, invoking Allah humbly, frequently, turning to Allah again and again. Question number six. Mention the two false accusations of the people of Hud alayhi salam against him, as mentioned in the Quran, 7th Surah, 66 Ayah. Naam. Ibrahim.
وإنا لنظنك من الكاذبين. The first characteristic would be that we see you to be foolish, and second, that we see you to be a liar.
Now, that we definitely, and this is what the leaders of the disbelievers from amongst his people say, we definitely, certainly, inna lanaraka. Inna is, yani, for what? Emphasis. And the lamb here is also for emphasis. Lanaraka. Yani, indeed, we see you to be of those who are, yani, of the foolish. Fi safahatin. Wa inna lanadhunnuka. And our best, يعني estimation of the matter, we believe يعني الغالب, more likely that you are from the liars. نعم. الله مستعان. Question number 7. Discuss the manner of Salih عليه السلام's appeal to his people to avoid making mischief in the earth, as mentioned in the Quran, 7th Surah, 74th Ayah. نعم. Now, to remember, reflect upon, consider the favors and bounties of Allah. Allah has given you so many bounties and favors. Reflect upon this, remember this. And therefore, as a result of that, perhaps, yani, you would realize that you should not go about in the earth making mischief and corruption in the earth. Question number 8. What did Shu'aib alayhi salam say to his people about his engaging in that which he has prohibited them from? يعني mentioned in the 11th surah, 88th ayat. نعم. Ibrahim.
He said, ما أريد أن أخالفكم إلى ما نهاكم عن. I do not wish to contradict you in which I have prohibited you from. I only أريد إصلاحا.
إن أريد إصلاحا.
ما استطعت. I only desire
إصلاح. Reformation, improvement, correction to the best of my ability. Yani, he said to his people that I do not want to oppose, go against that which I am prohibiting you from. Meaning, I'm not going to do that which I tell you not to do. If I prohibit you from something, I have to refrain from it. If I command you with something, I have to comply with it. ما أريد أن أخالفكم فيما نهاكم عنه. When what that which I have prohibited you from, I don't want to differ, go oppose against that which I have prohibited you from. Rather, all I want is rectification, reformation to the best of my ability. And if I have any success, it's from Allah. He's the one in whom I put my trust, and I return to Him in repentance. Memorize, and this ayat is really, yani, a critical, very, very important ayat. Yani, very important ayat for us to remind ourselves of the great importance that we must comply with that which we call people to in terms of commands and prohibitions. Those who consider themselves as callers to Islam, and every Muslim, whether you consider yourself as a da'i or not, every Muslim is representing Islam, and we have to comply with what we claim to represent. Number 9, memorize the ayat condemning anyone whose actions contradict what they say. And this specifically, the ayah that we're referring to is in the 61st surah, 2nd and 3rd ayah. Okay, Allahu Akbar. Fadlu, Azir. Jayyid, Ahsant. What is the meaning? Naam.
You who believe, why do you say what you do not do? Most hated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you say what you do not do.
Naam. Oh, you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Why do you say one thing and then do something else? This is hated in front of Allah, in the sight of Allah. This is something detestable, that you say one thing and then act contrary to it. And finally, the question number 10, discuss and memorize the ayah which condemns enjoining birr, piety on others while not practicing it oneself. First, let's hear the ayat. Naam, let's hear the ayat, the Musa.
أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون.
Meaning, somebody else, give me the meaning. Naam, Ahmed.
You command people with piety and forget it for yourselves when you are reciting the book.
Naam, do you command people with piety, with righteousness, with good, and you forget your own selves, meaning to forget to practice it yourself while you're reciting the book? And the end of the ayah is what?
Do you not have sense?
Do you not have an intellect, a mind, to think, to know that if it's something good that you're commanding the people with, that you wouldn't do it yourself? أَفَلَا تَعَقِلُوا نَعْمْ طيب. What is the meaning of this ayah? Yani, what is the important essence of the core that we discussed concerning this ayah? Now,
first, it's not a question from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a rebukement of these people.
Okay, it's a rebukement. Yeah, it's not a question, but he's really rebuking these people, and he's condemning them, criticizing them. Now,
he said, why do you order
Bani Israel specifically, but it's related to everyone?
Why do you order the piety and you forget to yourself, meaning you forget to comply with it?
Now,
While you recite the book, meaning you know the book, meaning you know the halal and the haram from the book, you know about Allah, you know about Jahannam, you know about Jannah, but still you don't do it.
Okay, you know the good, the halal, the haram, the Jannah, and yet you call the people to it and you don't comply yourself. Naam.
Just because you don't do the action, don't mean you don't warn the people against.
Just because you yourself don't do it does not mean that you can't call people to good or forbid them from wrong. Naam. Naam, Musa. That the alim, he must command with that which is good, even if he doesn't do it himself. Naam. And the other side of that? And he must also forbid the people from evil, even if he himself commits that evil. Naam. And why is that?
Because
commanding the good, the commanding of good in and of itself, this is good, and it is obligatory upon the person who knows it, even if they didn't do it. Now, somebody want to add? Now,
if he doesn't do it, he gets two sins: for not doing it and for not enjoying it or forbidding it.
Okay, so there are two things involved. Okay, if he doesn't, enjoin the good, and he doesn't do it either, then that's two matters, right? Because both of them are obligatory. Both of them, enjoining the good and doing that good, are both separate obligations. So if a person doesn't do it, at least call other people to good. At least. The neglect of one doesn't free you from the other obligation. These are two separate obligations of enjoining the good and doing it, and prohibiting the evil and leaving it. Now.
And the opposite,
now. Even though it was revealed, directed to the Bani Israel, but it's applicable to everyone after that. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, gives a good explanation of this. For the sake of time, we won't repeat it here, but it's a very important explanation that we should go back to this ayah and read his explanation and understand that this ayah does not mean that Allah is condemning the people for enjoining the good, since they didn't do it. He's not condemning them for enjoining the good. Rather, he's condemning them for not doing the good. He's not condemning them for enjoining the good. He's condemning them for not doing it. And this is two different things, okay? Because enjoining the good is ma'ruf, and it's wajib to the person who knows it. So even though you didn't do it, it's still obligatory for you to call people to it, to invite people, to remind people, to encourage people, even if you didn't do it yourself. Okay, so here, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir is making it clear that Allah is not condemning them because they called to good. Rather, he's condemning them because they didn't do the good. Because they didn't do the good. These are two separate matters, and we must distinguish between them. We must know that the correct saying of the scholars of the people of Sunnah concerning this, even though there are scholars who say otherwise, who say that, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said in the explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, he said that, some of the scholars said that whoever doesn't do good, he can't command it. And whoever doesn't abandon evil, he can't forbid people. He said this is weak. Ibn Kathir said this opinion is weak. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen also mentioned something similar to that in his explanation. He said this is weak, and rather the correct saying is, as the brother said, that the alim who knows good, he must command the good even if he doesn't do it. And if he knows evil, he must forbid the evil even if he himself does not abstain from it, even if he himself engages in it. Now,
how does it relate with this ayah to hypocrisy? One doesn't do the action. How does this...
Now, how does it relate to hypocrisy? We have time in the end, inshallah, we'll come back to it. Try to remember. We don't want to get sidetracked now, because now we get into our topic, and time is short. But now, how does it relate to hypocrisy? Now, that's a good question. But it might require some time, so we need a little bit of time. All right, this is the last question I wanted to discuss tonight. And the topic tonight, we have two topics, yani, that are related to one another. Istimraru da'awatihim alayhim as-salam lil mukhalif. Yani, their persistence in their call or their invitation, alayhim as-salam, to those who opposed them, who differed with them, who were disobedient. Their persistence, the continuity of their da'wah. And along with this, istimraru inayatihim alayhim as-salam biman tabi'ahum. Yani, their persistence, the continuity of their care, intensive care for those who follow them, yani, who are under their supervision, under their guidance, who have accepted their message and their call. Yani, they are persistent in calling the people who oppose them, and they are also persistent in extending intensive care to those who have accepted the message. The point is what? Yani, continuity, persistence, being persistent in calling the people to Islam and being persistent in offering guidance and protection and looking over those who have accepted the message after they have accepted it. Yani, the Shaykh, he mentions four examples in this first topic, the continuity or the persistence of the Prophet ﷺ in their da'wah to those who opposed them, who differed with them, who disbelieved, who were disobedient. He mentions four examples. The first example is an example of a whole nation of people being called for a whole lifetime. And it's the example of Nuh alayhi salam. And the second example is the example of calling a close member of one's family and being persistent and consistent and not giving up hope on that person who's close to you, who know very well, and you've been calling them until death comes to them. You're still calling them. You don't give up. Huh? And the third example is the example of calling an elderly person. Sometimes people give up. They say the old can't be, what they say?
Trained,
taught, whatever. You can't do that with them. They're finished. But that's not so with us. They were persistent, yani, even with those who are old. And the fourth example is the call to the one who is young, the small child who we think they're too young, they can't understand. Yani, meaning what? That no one is too old to be called. And no one is too young to be called. And we don't give up because they're young, they can't understand. Or they're old and it's too late for them. Persistence, istimrar, in the da'wah to those who have opposed, who have disbelieved, who have rejected, who are disobedient. Being persistent. Being, yani, having continuity in the da'wah. These are four examples that the Shaykh has given very, very briefly. And hopefully, yani, if we reflect upon each of these examples, we will see in each one of them something that he is bringing forth that inshallah will be a benefit for us in our own lives, in our own efforts for da'wah. And many of us, we gave up and we lost hope and we fell into despair because we called somebody for, yani, a few weeks or a few months or a few years and we gave up on them. The 14th characteristic of the Prophet alayhi wasalam, of their character and morals, is istimrar da'awatihim lil mukhalif wa adam qunutihim minhu. Yani, their persistence in their call to those, to the one who opposed them, who differed with them, who was disobedient. Wa adam qunutihim minhu. And that they didn't fall into despair or hopelessness from those whom they called who opposed them, who differed with them. The first example is from the example of Nuh alayhi salam. And the Shaykh, he doesn't mention the ayat, but he refers to the ayat in Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th surah, 14th ayah, 29:14. And he, the Shaykh, he says, concerning Nuh alayhi salam, istamarra yad'u qawmahu alfa sanatin illa khamsina aman bikulli wasilatin kama dhakara Allah azza wa jalla anhu fi surah Nuh. Naam. Yani there are two things that he has mentioned here. The first of them, istamarra yad'u qawmahu, that he continued to call, to invite his people for 1,000 years except 50. Yani 950 years. And this is mentioned, as I said, the Shaykh is alluding to the ayah in Surah Al-Ankabut 29:14. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. Indeed, we have sent Nuh to his people, yani as a prophet, as a messenger, calling them to Allah. فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. So he remained amongst them for 1,000 years except 50 years. 950 years. فَأَخَذَهُمُ الطُّوفَانِ وَهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. And then the floods, يعني, overcame them while they were ظالمون, while they were unjust, يعني in shirk, while they were committing ظلم, shirk. نعم. And there's a lot of discussion about this 950 years. And Ibn Kathir mentions some of the opinions concerning this. And other scholars mention various opinions. I'll just mention three of them. And I'll mention as the last one, the one that Ibn Kathir says is the most correct. Yani one opinion is the opinion of Qatada. He says that Nuh alayhi salam actually lived for 950 years. That was his whole lifetime. And this is mentioned by Ibn Kathir in his tafsir. Qatada radiallahu rahimahullah, he said, it was said that his entire lifespan was 1,000 less 50. He remained amongst them, amongst his people, for 300 years before he began to call them. And then he called them for 300 years. And then after the flood, yani after they were destroyed, he lived for another 350 years. This is the opinion of Qatada. And it's mentioned in various places. The second opinion I want to mention is the opinion of Ka'ab al-Ahbar radiallahu anhu. He said, Ka'ab said, and it's also mentioned in some of the books of Tafsir, he said, and he mentions the narration, the chain of narrators that this statement comes from. And he said, yani concerning this ayat in the Quran, فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا, that he remained amongst his people for 1,000 years, minus 50 years, yani 950 years. He said, after that, after 950 years being amongst his people, that was his, yani the time he was amongst his people, after that he lived for another 70 years. Yani meaning after he lived amongst them, he called them, and they were destroyed, after that he lived for another 70 years. So that means he said he lived what? Yeah, 1,020. 950 years plus, after their destruction, 70 years. And the third opinion, which Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says is the strongest opinion, and he's narrated authentically from him with a chain that has the Sahih Isnad. He says that, yani Ibn Kathir concerning this ayah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said concerning this ayah, بُعِثَ نُوحٌ وَهُوَ لِأَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً, that he was missioned, that is Nuh was sent to his people as a prophet and a messenger, when he was 40 years old. He was missioned at the age of 40. وَلَبِثَ فِي قَوْمِهِ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. And then he remained amongst them. Yani after he had been missioned as a prophet, he remained amongst them, calling them for 950 years. وَعَاشَ بَعْدَ الطُّوفَانِ سِتِّينَ عَامًا حَتَّى كَثُرَ النَّاسِ وَفَشَوُ. This is narrated by Imam Muslim as well. Yani that, and then he lived after the flood, and after the people were destroyed by the water, the abundance of water, he lived for 60 years until the people, yani, increased and they spread out throughout the earth. Yani, he was missioned at the age of 40. He called his people for 950 years of da'wah. And then after the flood, he lived for another 60 years. Yani, that comes to what? 1,050. Yani, 40 years before his mission, 60 years after the flood, that's 100, right? And he called them for 950 years. 1,050. Yani 950 plus 100, 40 before he was missioned and 60 after the flood. 950 plus 100. Yani 1,050 years. Ibn Kathir says this is the stronger opinion, and Allah knows best. There are a lot of other opinions. We only mention this because a lot of people, when they read this ayah, they say, wow, Nuh alayhi salam lived a long time, 950 years. Rather, most of the scholars say he lived more than that. More than that. And Allah knows best. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says 1,050. Now, yani the Shaykh, rahimahullah, Allah ihfadhu, yani the Shaykh, he says that Nuh continuously, he continued to give da'wah to his people for 950 years. Bi kulli wasilatin kama dhakara Allah anhu fi Surah An-Nuh. Yani that he continued to give da'wah to his people for 950 years using every means, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nuh. And this is mentioned, yani, in the 5th and especially the 8th and 9th ayat of Surah An-Nuh. Yani 71st surah, 8 and 9, or 5 and 8 and 9, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. That he, Nuh alayhi salam, said, O my Rabb, I have called my people night and day. Yani constantly, day and night, all the time, night and day. فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا. And my call to them did not increase them in anything except fleeing from me. And then, yani, it goes on to say in the 8th and 9th ayat, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا. That Nuh alayhi salam said, then I call them out loud, jihara, yani out loud, openly and out loud. ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَارُتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. And then I made public proclamation and private appeals to them. Yani أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَارُتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. Yani I proclaimed the call publicly, and also I tried to appeal to them privately. Meaning here what? That he tried by every means possible, with any way that he could reach them for 950 years. He never gave up until the flood came and destroyed them. So if we have to give da'wah for 950 days, and we'll give up. Some people we gave da'wah one time, we said these people are ignorant, these people are stubborn, later for them. The second example the Shaykh mentions, وَاسْتَمَرَّ يَدْعُوا إِبْنَهُ إِلَى أَنْحَالَ بَيْنُهُمَا الْمَوْجِ. And he continued to call, to give da'wah, to invite his son, his own son, yani that he saw born and raised, and he called and called and called him until the end. Until what? Until the waves came between them. حَالَ بَيْنُهُمَا الْمَوْجِ. His son said, I will seek refuge in the mountain. In a mountain, it will save me from the water. And he said, there is nothing that will save you today, yani from the command, from the decree of Allah, except who Allah has mercy upon. وَحَالَ بَيْنُهُمَا الْمَوْجِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرِقِينَ. And then the waves came between them, and he was amongst those who were drowned. And some of us, our children, or maybe yani siblings, or parents, or whoever close to us, we gave up on them also. But he didn't give up. Even the water, the floods came, he still is calling him. Not ever becoming hopeless, in despair. Rather, calling and calling and calling for the sake of Allah. And you never know. Some people in old age, they accept Islam before their death. And this takes us to the third example that the Shaykh mentions, the da'wah of an old man. The da'wah of our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, كان يدعو عمه أبا طالب حتى خرجت روحه والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عند فراش موتي يقول له يا عم قل لا إله إلا الله كلمة أحاج لك بها عند الله. Yani our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was giving da'wah, calling, inviting his uncle Abu Talib, until his soul came from his body, yani until the matter was finished, khalas. And he didn't give up until there was no hope, and until there was no way any for there to be any chance. And the Prophet ﷺ was at his deathbed, and he was saying to him, "Oh, my uncle, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ That's it. And he didn't say, "And قُلْ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ." He said, "قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ." This is a word, the Prophet ﷺ say la ilaha illallah, a word that I will be able to argue on your behalf with this word, with Allah. Yani I will be able to say something on your behalf in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this word, this kalima, la ilaha illallah. And this, the fact that the Prophet ﷺ had hope that if you just say la ilaha illallah, and of course meaning it, believing it. If you just say la ilaha illallah, then this is something that I can hold on, I can stand before Allah and I can argue on your behalf with it. And this shows the magnitude of la ilaha illallah. And the hadith concerning the importance and the greatness and the magnificence and the magnitude of this kalima la ilaha illallah are many. And this is one of them that shows the greatness of this word. Just say this la ilaha illallah and I will be able to stand in front of Allah and argue on your behalf with it. That will be sufficient. That will give me something to work with. And by the way, yani, the fourth example will come yani, to a point concerning La ilaha illallah. In this fourth example, the Shaykh says, وَزَارَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ الْغُلَامُ الْيَهُودِي وَدَعَهُ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ وَمَاتَ مُسْلِمًا. And he visited the Yahudi boy, the Jewish boy, Gulam, a young boy. Yani the boy that used to serve him, that worked as a servant. Yani he used to serve the Prophet ﷺ. He was a Yahudi. He went to visit him on his deathbed. وَدَعَاهُ And he invited him to Islam. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ And he responded to the Prophet ﷺ. وَمَاتَ مُسْلِمًا And he died as a Muslim. And he died as a Muslim. Naam, alhamdulillah. And that is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said. At that point, he said, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَنْقَضَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ Alhamdulillah, the praise belongs to Allah. He who has saved him from the hellfire. Yani Allah has saved him from the hellfire. And there are a lot of points concerning this, yani in one of the narrations it says, Alhamdulillah alladhi najjahu bi min an-nar. Alhamdulillah, the one who has rescued him through me from the fire. The point here, right, of utmost importance, number one, and there are a lot of points that could be made concerning this particular hadith. The greatest yani matter concerning it is that whoever accepts Islam, the praise belongs to Allah. Yani we do not take credit and boast and brag that we have saved somebody. Rather, it is Allah who saved them. Through you, but it is Allah. The praise, the Prophet ﷺ said, he didn't say Alhamdulillah, wali. He said Alhamdulillah, alladhi anqadahu min an-nar. Allah, the one who saved them from the fire. Or najjahu bi min an-nar, who saved him through me. Naam, but the praise belongs to Allah, who is the one who has rescued him through me from the fire. And the last two examples, the example of the old man, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and the young boy, the Yahudi, show us two things. That number one, we don't give up on the old people, and number two, we don't even yani give up on the young people. And it also shows us that no matter how much we want to call people, some of them Allah may accept and some of them will not accept. Yani his uncle did not accept Islam. And the young boy did accept Islam. And perhaps people would imagine that the uncle is the one who accepted Islam. Yani somebody who knew him firsthand, who protected him and did everything he could to save him and to save him from harm. And that's his relative and it's his uncle and still he didn't accept Islam. And instead of the boy who is a Yahudi, a real Yahudi, son of a Yahudi, and the boy is the one who accepts Islam. That means that Allah is the one who guides. Guidance is with Allah. It's not our choice. And here, just quickly, I want to mention On this point, yani, I don't want to get sidetracked, but on this point, I just want to mention also, yani, the hadith that's in Bukhari concerning the Khaybar, the day of Khaybar, when the Prophet ﷺ said that, I will give the banner, yani, the flag, for this army to a man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant victory at his hands. And in some of the narrations he said, this one, يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ. This one who is going to take the flag, he loves Allah and His Messenger. وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And Allah and His Messenger loves him. And all the people spent the night trying to decide, trying to guess who it would be, that it would be me, it would be whoever. And everyone wants it to be that one, who in their hands the victory will come at their hands, from Allah at their hands. And who, one who loves, who the Prophet proclaimed, this one loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger loves him. And in the morning all the people were waiting to see who would be appointed. And the Prophet asked, where is Ali ibn Abi Talib? They said, he is complaining of a problem with his eye. He said, bring him to me. And he spit in his eyes, and he cured him by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he gave him the flag and sent him, and he told him, yani, to go to these people and call them to Islam and inform them of what is obligatory upon them concerning the rights of Allah in Islam. And then he said to him, فَوَاللَّهِ لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَكَ حُمْرٌ نَعَمٌ. That by Allah, I swear by Allah, that Allah guiding one man through you, and يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا. Again, what? What's the point? That Allah is the one who guides. He might guide someone through you, but Allah is the one who guides. That Allah will guide one man through you is better than that there be for you the red camels. And this is also in agreement with the previous, yani, the last, the fourth example that the Shaykh gives, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, Alhamdulillah alladhi anqadhahu min al-nar, wa alhamdulillah alladhi najjahu bi min al-nar. Yani, that Allah, praise belongs to Allah, the one who has rescued him through me. And in this hadith he said that Allah guide even one man through you would be better for you. Yani, Allah is the guide, but if He guides them through you, then this is good for you. It will be better than red camels. And I just want to mention one point here, and that is, yani, related to the story of the boy. And Sheikh Al-Albani discussed this in some detail. I don't have time to mention it in detail now, but I just want to mention one point, and that is, yani, he's talking about the people who say when a person is dead or dying, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. What is the meaning of this hadith? Yani, the people when they are dying, and some of the people misunderstood it means when they are dead, tell them to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And the Sheikh is explaining this, and he gives a beautiful explanation, and the point of it, yani, he says, he mentions this story that clarifies that the meaning of لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ, it means command the person who is dying. It means command the person who is dying, not dead, command him, order him to say لا إله إلا الله. It doesn't mean suggest to him, it means command him to do so. And he said this is because of what? Because of the great principle in that hadith of the boy, the Jewish boy, that the speech of the Prophet ﷺ is understood from his action. His actions explain his speech. What did he mean by that? لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ. It means from his action that he ordered the person to say لا إله إلا الله. Just like he said to his uncle, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And he said to the boy, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Mean order them to say لا إله إلا الله. On the deathbed, say, order them to say لا إله إلا الله. And in the hadith of the boy, he actually said it. He said لا إله إلا الله. And the Prophet ﷺ said that he died as a Muslim. And in some of the narrations he said, take your brother and bury him. Meaning he said to the Sahaba, take this boy. And from his father, the Yahudi, who knew that it was the truth, because the boy, when the Prophet ﷺ was saying to him, say la ilaha illallah, the boy looked up to his father like, what shall I do? And his father told him, Ati Abu Qasim, obey Abu Qasim, obey him. So his father knew that it was the truth, he refused to accept it himself. Huh? SubhanAllah. Some people, they know the truth and they will not accept it. But we don't know. Allah is the guide. He guides whomever He wills. Yani. And this hadith is also, yani, a clear proof that Yani if a person is on their deathbed, it is sufficient that you tell them to say La ilaha illallah, as the Prophet ﷺ told his uncle, and he told that boy, and that boy said La ilaha illallah, and he died. He didn't say any more than that. He said La ilaha illallah. He didn't tell him to say Muhammad Rasulullah. And because this is the asl, La ilaha illallah is the foundation. Whoever believes that, that's sufficient. Everything else is secondary. Now, I'm giving shahada, tell them to say Muhammad Rasulullah. A person on deathbed, just tell them to say La ilaha illallah. And if they understand what it means, and they accept it and they say it, then this is sufficient. On the deathbed, it is sufficient. From the example of the Prophet ﷺ to his uncle, Abu Talib, and from this Jewish boy, is sufficient to tell the person to say, La ilaha illallah. This is our example in our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And anything that anyone else says besides that, yani, we can look at it. But this is our example from our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Okay, after this, quickly, yani, because I see that the time is upon us, but the second topic is very, very brief, and we'll just handle it quickly. Yani, the continuity or the persistence in the Prophets alayhi wasalam giving care to those who follow them. From the character of the Prophets alayhi wasalam is their persistence and continuity in showing care, inaya and hirs, being eager and diligent, ala ahlul iman, upon the people of iman, the people who have accepted the truth, min buyutihim wa ummahatihim, from amongst their own household and from the rest of the people of the Ummah, yani the people of Ahlul Iman, that the Prophets, they used to have inaya, intensive care, and hirs, eagerness and diligence, yani, in that care for these people. وَذَلِكَ مِنْ بَابْ الزِّيَادَ فِي تَثْبِيتِهِمْ. And this is what? From the perspective of what? الزِّيَادَ, increase in making them firm. Yani, they have accepted the truth, but we want to make them firm upon the truth, and this increase in firmness, it is by giving care. Yani, a person accepts Islam and everybody says Allahu Akbar, and we say whatever we say to them and hug them and smile, and then we forget about them. There's no inaya. Where's the care for them? The people who have accepted Islam deserve intensive care, otherwise they may waver. And this is so what? So that they may remain firm. الزِّيَادَ فِي تَثْبِيتِهِمْ. The Shaykh gives one example, the example of Ya'qub, and we have mentioned this ayah before. He was haris, yani very eager and diligent, فِي ذُرِّيَتِهِ, in his offspring, his children. يَدْعُوهُمْ مَا أَنَّهُمْ أَهْلُ الْإِيمَانِ. And he was يَدْعُوهُمْ, calling them, even though they were the people of Iman. They were already believers, but he was still giving da'wah to them. Yani, keeping in mind what? As we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, the meaning is, not just to guide us to the straight path, but after we have accepted it, to keep us firm upon the path. الثَّبَاتَ upon the path, until we reach the destination, until we die upon Islam, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And whoever dies upon Islam, they will be resurrected upon what they died upon. As Ibn Kathir mentions in another ayah in Surah Ali Imran. Yani, that what? He was very diligent in calling them, even though they were the people of Iman. And he mentions here the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 133rd ayah, Am kuntum shuhada. He's talking to the Bani Israel, and they're claiming that they followed Ibrahim, and they're claiming that they followed the prophets who came after him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is refuting them, saying, Am kuntum shuhada idh hadra Ya'qub al-mauta. Yani, were you present when death came to Ya'qub alayhi salam? And you claiming that you're following, were you present when death came to him? They of course were not. So Allah informs them what happened at the time when death came to Yaqub. Is qala li banihi, and they claim to be from his offspring, right? They claim to be from the offspring of Yaqub. Is qala li nabihi banihi, when he said to his sons, ma ta'buduna min ba'di, what will you be worshipping after me? Yani, after I am dead. Yani, he's telling them this on his deathbed. What will you be worshipping after me? قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Yani, that we will be worshipping your ilah, the one that you worship, the ilah of your fathers, Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq. And of course, Yani Ismail was the uncle, Yani their father's brother. But Yani in the language, Yani we understand the uncle also can be looked at Yani like your father. So this is also like your father, Ibrahim, your grandfather, and Ismail and Ishaq, your father. We will be worshipping your God and the God of your fathers, Yani Ilahan Wahidan, one Ilah. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And Ibn Kathir says, إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا يَعْنِي نُوَحِّدُهُ بِالْأُلُوهِيَةِ, that we will single him out for uluhiyya, divinity, the right to be worshipped. We worship him alone. وَلَا نُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا غَيْرُهُ, and we will not associate anything with him other than him. We will not make anything يعني as a partner with him. And Shaykh Sa'di said, وَلَا نَعْدِلُ بِهِ أَحَدًا, and we will not make anyone equal to him. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, and we will be يعني for him يعني those who يعني are Muslims. Ibn Kathir says what? مُطِيعُونَ وَخَادِعُونَ, يعني obedient. We will single out Allah for worship and we will be obedient to him and we will humble ourselves before him. And Shaykh Sa'di says, فَجَمَعَ بَيْنَ التَّوْهِيدِ وَالْعَمَلِ. So they have combined in this saying, إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, يعني we will take one, we will worship Allah alone, the one ilah, and we will be Muslims to him. Meaning what? Jama'a bayna tawheed, they have combined between the tawheed, singling out Allah alone, and then al-amal, acting upon that tawheed. And this is very important, and I know the time is upon us now, but it can't go without saying that it's upon us, the people of tawheed, to not just proclaim tawheed, but to act upon it. جَمَعَ بَيْنَ التَّوْهِيدِ وَالْعَمَلِ. التَوْهِيد, يعني the concept of tawheed, we acknowledge and recognize that Allah is the only one who deserves the worship. We have to act too. Where's the action? يعني the ibadah, the akhlaq, the adab, the mu'amalat, in everything that we do, we have to act upon that tawheed. That worshipping Allah alone is not just prayer and fasting, but it's in everything that we say and do. And finally, the Shaykh closes, فَأَرَادَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَنْ يَزِيدَهُمْ ثَبَاتًا. And by this, he's saying that, يعني يعقوب عليه السلام, what he intended by asking them what they will be worshipping after him. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is refuting the Yahud with this, right? Saying, were you there when Yaqub was on his deathbed? What did he say to his sons? What will you be worshipping after me? We'll be worshipping your God and the God of your fathers, the God of يعني Ibrahim and Ismail Ishaq, one God, and will be Muslims. This is to the Yahud. يعني in closing, يعني the last statement that the Shaykh mentions here, فَأَرَادَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَنْ يَزِيدَهُمْ ثَبَاتًا, يعني that he intended by this, يعني questioning of them, he intended to increase them in their firmness, in their steadfastness upon that which he had given to them, يعني the Islam. يعني he intended to increase them in being firm and steadfast yani upon the truth. And this is very important, especially those who have children, or even otherwise it doesn't but matter, but especially if you have children, that don't be content that you have attempted to raise them as Muslims, but rather you must give care to them and you must try to increase them in their firmness upon Islam, because indeed they will be tested and tried. And maybe you will be leaving here sooner or later, maybe sooner. And if they are not firm, we don't know what will happen. Look at so many of our children. And some of you who are young, you may have experienced some of this yourself in your youth. How you were not firm, or at least maybe some of your siblings, or some of your neighbors or your friends who were not firm, and some of them have left Islam. Many of them. May Allah return them to Islam. Yani he intended to increase them in thabat. And we have, yani, in this line, yani, the example of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he supplicated to Allah, Allahumma musarrif al-kulub, sarrif kulubana ala ta'atik. O Allah, the one who turns the hearts. Turn our hearts to obedience to you. And the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya muqallib al-kulub, thabbit kulubana ala deenik. Or qalbi ala deenik. Oh, the one who, yani muqallib al-kulub, who turns over the hearts. make my heart firm upon your deen. And the supplication that Allah gave us in the Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. O Allah, do not cause our hearts to go astray after you have guided us. And these supplications and supplications like this show us the importance of al-thabat, of al-tathbeet. Yani that we should not be content and be satisfied and feel that we are safe. Rather, a person needs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who controls the hearts, who turns the hearts around or upside down. Yani that he keep our hearts firm upon his deen, firm upon obedience to him, and that he do not cause our hearts to go astray after we have been guided. And the older of the people know for sure, we have seen too many people who are upon the truth, upon the haqq, upon the sunnah, and they have deviated. Some of them are so far from Islam, it's frightening. We have seen too many cases. We can just go back in this city here, in this masjid and other masjids that we have been in, and we can look for the people that were upon the sunnah, strong. And where are they today? And some of them are still around, mashallah. We still have a few old timers still remaining. Huh? How many people are lost? How many people are not here anymore? Huh? So the point is that it is yani from the character of the prophets and messengers alayhi salatu wasalam, that they are yani persistent in calling those who oppose them, who differ with them, who may call them names, who may yani seem to be hopeless. But they were persistent and they were continuous. And they were also, yani, continuous and persistent in their care given to those, the people of Iman, the people who have accepted, and not abandon the people after they accept Islam, but rather give intensive, extra care to them to keep them firm and to increase them in firmness, in Iman, and in Taqwa, and in Ilm, and Amal, and Ibadah. And this requires a tremendous effort. It is upon us to be, yani, to have continuity, to have, yani, permanence in our effort, and not, yani, to make a tremendous effort and then, after a little while, get tired and give up and fall off and abandon the call or abandon the people who are in need of that support and that aid and that help, especially our immediate families.